including the Vedanta. Obviously, that balance in the economy that we realize that the current financial year is changed. And currently, they are at about 38% of the assets and policies. But I think the draft will be able to give more details to that. The issue of lack of funding for maintenance backlog, which where we sometimes feel that the maintenance issues are the user charges issue. Now, if we in policy collect user fees from households, we believe those user fees is to keep the services going, maintaining them, and so on. So, for customers to benefit, they need to keep paying. Now, if they pay and then we don't maintain, then obviously we also have the risk of not receiving the payment from the community. However, we also understand the challenges that come with the backlog. And some of these backlogs are a result of lack of maintenance. Because if we don't maintain, if we have then that infrastructure becomes backlog again. I think it's something that really needs to be looked at. The EIA delay. The Department of Environmental Affairs and Quality came with this good initiative. And I don't know if it's only in Western Cape, but since Monday we've been meeting in policy here, we realized that each and every district has got a big deployee to look at the issues around the EIA. And also the city of Cape Town has got a particular deployee that is helping them. So I thought maybe it's also attached to all the provinces, including Eastern Cape. But it's one initiative that I think is really working here in Western Cape, that we may need also to look at how to see how we can take that through to all the other provinces. So at the moment, we are working with a municipality called Okama. Okama is not far from Nelson Mandela. The municipality doesn't have a revenue waiver, but they cost a lot of water. So we are working with them to try to find a model where we can build some water infrastructure which we can sell to the community. And we would like the network to also come in that, because that municipality will be just only benefit, and the network material will also get the water. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. There were two issues that basically were raised by the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan at the Boston Municipality. The one that I'm going to deal with is just on the bulk water, that is to do with the invoices. I think that we have now, and I think Mr. Black has now implemented the check system in terms of the billing and for the invoices. And we hope to eliminate the problems in terms of the invoicing that the minister has indicated. Obviously, in terms of that, it also affects our revenue management in terms of making sure that we have the necessary funds for the operation and maintenance of our infrastructure. Obviously, we have a good working relationship as indicated by the municipality, and we want to continue with that particular interaction with the municipality. We're also upgrading our the supply to the municipality in terms of the cycles of the infrastructure that we must maintain, and also to make sure that the municipality gets its water supply. I'm going to give it to my colleague to answer the question about the sanitation of in particular relation to the buckets, the informal part with the municipality.
Thank you, Chairman.
No,
Mike. My voice is loud.
No, Mike.
thank you, Chairman. As far as the buckets are concerned, I concur with the municipality that they wiped out the buckets at the end of December last year. What is left now is the buckets in informal settlement. And the policy is saying, you know, we have to finish the buckets in formal areas, not in informal. The informal areas are tied up with the housing program, let me say.
Maybe we should say, instead of saying wipe out the bucket, you say, why do you keep the bucket?
Yes.
Not just wipe it.
Can I just make three comments about that? Actually, also by somewhat when we are from a query. When people say, for example, automobile sales are too high, what we get, I think the argument should be what value we get from tariffs. Tariffs, a low tariff is just as bad as a high tariff, and tariff is too high. If a tariff, auto tariff is too low, it means that you have got two little phones bought and necessary maintenance, no credit. I've looked at a tariff of Nelson Mandela Bay. What concerns me is that the water tariff that is, the steps are too flat. There's no, on the highest tariff drops, the increase is too small. That means there's no incentive for water conservation. I would urge the utility to look at that. I think we should also, as a department, taking your hint from yesterday or your instruction from yesterday, Chair, engage with the municipality on their water quality. There are water quality problems there, but it means that it's not bad management, it means infrastructure needs to be upgraded. And we can engage with that then because it will mean additional investment in treatment plants to improve the quality.
Okay.
and I think that this is delaying the owner coming forward. I think the issue of department, especially for our population here, the department that make them transfer. I think generally, whoever transfer funds that are earmarked for development, they are really making the work of municipality. Because they have to continue their work. It means that if they don't receive this fund, they must go to, they must take other funds for other issues. I'm not sure why the department should be the area that I would like to understand is that the difference between the first year of the community and the body committee. I couldn't understand what it means. As much as the oversight, council oversight committee, I thought that by council oversight committee, the whole different committee for different portfolios, but it looks like Nelson Mandela has a council oversight committee. I don't understand. I think the other issue that we need to take up as this committee is the issue of of making gradual, you know, in the low cost housing, what they call the area. I think that it is a problem. We did, but because comments about it the other day, making this issue with your municipal infrastructure grant. Because I don't think that if this area is low cost housing, then we should take a choice that by developing a gravel road. It means that they will never want to call it safe. But I agree with the comment that MN made that he is obviously that if those roads are passed, they will be nice for them. But I think that the problem is that we need to take up both with housing and DDLG. Then not after very well, this issue of disaster. Because in some areas, we hear that, for instance, if you stay so long before addressing the disaster, even those people who were the beneficiaries, they also get lost. We try to find those people who were affected because it has taken so long to address the disaster. That's an issue, Chair, that I need to raise the community. If the soccer World Cup is a challenge, I think that it's a challenge that really needs to be addressed properly. Because the municipalities, I think that they have so much what the money that they have. But if they have not those the resources that they have, then they have to pay for a national program. I think that it becomes a problem because it means that they must sacrifice certain programs in order to pay for this. We do know that the stadiums themselves will obviously be a benefit to the community. But I think that the municipalities must not be trying to pay for what, for instance, they cannot just be able to pay. Because there are competing needs. Especially the service users. I'm sorry that I said that. I forgot to talk about the issue that my colleague mentioned. but I want to talk about how to understand the role that the municipality plays in housing. Because we do know that Nelson Mandela is not accredited. But I saw the mayor on TV dealing with the issue of the quality of housing that has been delivered in the area. And I thought that it is not necessarily your competence. And sometimes the one doesn't understand water management, not only Nelson Mandela, would want to take a responsibility that is not necessarily there, and come back and complain that look, there are unfunded mandates or so. Because this issue of housing, again, it can be challenging, I suppose, like the figure, where you find that you are not in the sufficient as a cause of resources to build this house. But if you take that as a responsibility, it means that you must also be responsible for subsequent financial challenges that go with that. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any sort of response to how to deal with policy and the budget? Intensely,
on the issue of unfunded mandate and funded mandate, this issue, not the first time that there, you know, emerged in the report from Nelson Mandela. For the past 3-4 years, the municipality has reported just analytics of the program. I think as an administrator, we have seen about the municipality in this respect. We should take it upon ourselves, like our employee instructor, to go to this department to find out exactly why that they have delivered on their mandate. Why should Nelson Mandela continue to do what is supposed to be done by them? And we get answers from them. And I think Jan and I should think as well to do that. And we should do that again and again.
Comment, that's a comment on the housing.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the harbour, again, one needs to always give a little bit of background. When I started at the municipality, the housing delivery process and the directorate were in a bit of disarray. We've worked hard to put that administration in place. The newly appointed, or relatively newly appointed, executive director has immediately conducted an audit of all outstanding issues and categorized it into block projects, wet and defective or problem houses, at-risk areas, which are the flooding areas, and the houses built on actually an old tip, but it's a methane gas area in Warmer or Kavapa, and various categories of problem like that. And we implemented a housing turnaround strategy with a specific time-based and funded program to eliminate all of those problems. The wet and defective houses, now again, this links to a concern which was expressed here by the Honourable Member. Many of the defective, the wet and defective houses are actually in projects that were implemented directly by the province within the metro and not by the metro. But to answer the question, the metro is seen by the community as the primary service delivery mechanism. They don't want to go and see somebody's issue about their house. They want to speak to their ward councillor, and the ward councillor has to respond and give an answer. So we are responding, we're fixing those are nearly all complete. Because that issue is a little bit more complex because the community wants all of the re-siting to occur within the boundaries of the available land in Cabeta, but only people can be located outside Cabeta. And there just isn't enough land. But we've come up with a proposal which we put to the community for a slightly denser form of construction rather than the traditional square houses in roads, much like the Takatonki village, which is part of Cabeta. And it seems that that's in the process of consultation, and that will allow for us to move all of the methane gas sites into such a consist. As you go there, you'll see the land is being cleared, and we're well on the way to implementing that project as well. The three committees, the audit committee is a committee of the an integral part of the government structure of not only municipalities, but it's provided specifically in the MMLA, and how an audit committee has to be structured with external members, etc., and what its lines of accountability are. The audit steering committee is an administrative committee that consists of myself as the chairperson, my executive directors, and representatives of the auditor general. And it sits the year round, but it manages the audit process. So, in the run-up to the completion of the financial statements, engaging them on risk areas, focus areas for the audit, and those kinds of issues, and then the moment the financial statements are complete for that 5-month period, it manages the flow of information to the AG for the purposes of the audit and ensures that the audit is running smoothly. The oversight committee is not a statutory committee per se, but the NFMA requires the council of a municipality to produce an oversight report which reflects its response to the annual report, which is also a statutory required report in terms of the NFMA. My council chooses, and this is in line with Treasury guidelines on the matter, to delegate the engagement on the annual report to a committee which is formed, which then reports back to the council, and the council then adopts the oversight report. So it's fixed for that period, and then it's not really active for the rest of the year. It's got a specific responsibility which is to engage with the annual report. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, you asked me to say something on the last bullet point in the confusion of confusion slide. I think this to me basically begs one question. What is the size of the amount that you're actually talking about? Because one must look at this thing as an instrument for doing something. The housing subsidy program is an instrument for rolling out housing primarily to people. Just the other day, we were having a discussion on some of the work that we're doing, and one person there raised an issue that the one funny thing about what happens when you deliver low cost housing that's meant for poor people, you start destroying it. When you find toilets are there, but they are not open. Now, when you look at delivery for housing for a different category of people, you have like nice roads that have been created and all of that, and then you have to the houses for after all. But what this basically says to me is that there is a problem of linking the road. This is an instrument of there is infrastructure grants that are meant to do that particular job. And one would not like to see one instrument being used to achieve 4 or 5 objectives, because once it does that, you distort the instrument. I think the discussion should really be about how do we best link what happens with those grants and what happens with the housing program grant. And once we can get that mixed right, then we have a discussion to talk about why grants instead of that. I don't think that, I mean, it's something that you might want to look at in the commission, but my first reaction is that don't think that is a good idea.
Okay, the following. Firstly, disaster funding should not be problematic. Because it's not an issue of lack of money. Confidence is there to forget that. So clearly, dealing with that, because what's very problematic is the fact that this matter becomes much more expensive when you then delay that. It becomes much, much more expensive. Let's use systems that can respond quickly to that. Secondly, John and the team, the import duties issue. I think it's a matter that we very much prioritize in respect of our policy. And the finalization of growth and coming growth and responsibilities, and again, in respect of that, cruising duties, I think it's a very crucial matter. And the issue, you know, I find it funny. In the province that generally understand. And municipalities that would be used to be able to do some of these things for them. I mean, when you look at clinics there, we know that that province has built clinics in rural areas where there were no roads. But when it could spend, when it could have been used right there. Even last year, there was a huge understanding on non-personal, non-capital, of 127 million, which could have been used in clinics. Again, same funding. I'm saying it's a matter that I've shown we are going to be seeing ourselves when we deal with the problems there. The other matter that we have dealt with, that I have raised earlier, the issue of the National Transport Service. You've got to follow that up speedily. And the issue of non-performance communication has caused your affiliation together with NASA as a critical matter, and then it must be done. And then this assistance to work, to work team, just to advise you, I think you must go in the Department of Social Development and in the same. The same department of public works and roads to the Department of Public as we see. So that this thing becomes a broader issue that ensures that it doesn't only depend on this, but something that then takes them out. The issues of unemployment of education, school nutrition. How do you ensure them for that the assistance to the poor scheme becomes a bigger thing so that the community benefits much better than I want to allow you to talk about also committing the international airport to fly out quickly and possibly to your body. Councillor, your last word? You want to be
there? Thank you very much. I'm not going to report on this, but I just to say that we as politicians, locally and nationally, we set goals and we try to achieve them. And when we do that, we solicit the view of the community and we go out up front so that we build onto the foundation of what people know is going to happen. When there is a financial constraint, all that flies in our face, especially in terms of the elections that are coming, in terms of the development where funding is shrinking so that we concentrate only on the business of the stadium. Then if now those affected areas where funding is not available at a previous disadvantage, obviously, the strike and all the work are saying to be perpetuated in the past, the concentration of the previous disadvantage. The issue of roads, I want to say that the distance that we are covering from Portugal to other side of this land is in the previous disadvantage, and we have no funding. That's a cause for concern to us. We can't go and do those jobs in those communities because there is development in the community. And lastly, Chairperson, I must say that the compromise of the whole political spectrum by not releasing funding is actually making it very difficult for us to convince communities on issues that they have to participate in, because public participation is key on this issue. They don't trust. And I'm saying to those that are in control of finances, it is safe that is a given in the of now. And to the people, they don't see local
provincial and national. Basic government, we are able to call the place of service delivery on behalf of all the
citizens here.
And that's why we include the town board.
Thanks for coming.
Go well.
Now, can I please the same town because they are so hard to allow this amateur from the capital to came down again with me. Thank you very much.
Over the years, and that has also resulted to
to the three-year management training that has taken place. That number is wrong. The amalgamation originally of 7 local authorities. And in this process over the last year, we have had a significant exodus in skills, which we've had to now deliver. But I think over the last couple of years, we've seriously addressed some of these issues. We do now have a stable management team. The amalgamation of those previous administrations, which 3 years ago had still not been completed, is now complete. We have the systems in place, and we are now driving very hard to attract skills and to get the appropriate staff in to ensure that we are able to deliver what we want to. So we believe we now have the capacity to deliver, and we will perhaps think a bit later on that delivery. We are financially strong, but we still have to continue. We have to continue the strategy to address backlog and the continuing growth of the city. Just the background to the city, the population of 3.5 million. We're perhaps one of the most diversified cities in the world. We look at it on any basis, whether it's race or culture or religion or any such sort, you'll find that we are one of the most mixed that you can find. We have a very high net migration, and that of course puts significant pressure on our services and on our infrastructure. But that migration into the city is across the spectrum. I think it would be unfortunate if we only had poor people coming into the city, because that would result in an unsustainable situation where we would not have a portion of the population which provides the bulk of the income for subsidization. If that didn't grow with the poor portion of the population, we would very rapidly end up in an unstable situation where we would not be able to continue to deliver the services and subsidies and free services, etc., on the level that we need. We have a particular geographic problem. I think as you all know here, on two sides, we are closing by the ocean. On the third side, we're closing by mountains. Unlike perhaps, you know, cities Johannesburg or Swami, where they can grow in 360 degrees around their centre. We don't have that luxury. We can only go in a few. And of course, it has significant complications and cost implications, particularly for the utilities. Sorting out our road system, our traffic system, particularly is impacted on by the geographic context of the area. Tourism is one of our emerging markets. We do have a business industrial base, not as much as some other cities, but it's going to be in the service sector that the city is going to find in the future. We still have on our infrastructure backlog of the city maintenance of, and I would say, the roads particularly. You know, we need to and are busy expanding this bulk infrastructure. We have over the last couple of years focused quite strongly on what we call the trading services, utilities, but also electricity, sewerage and refuse disposal, to move their income streams up to a level such that in medium term they have enough money to ensure that we can cover all the costs of both expansion, maintenance, etc. And I think we've made significant strides in terms of that, of those. But we face a particular problem as far as those examples are concerned. And that's the area where we have to focus to find particularly funding for maintenance. Road maintenance is a serious shortfall that we have. Our overall financial status, we've had 3 audits, I think for 4 years now. This year in June, we had our first bond issue, a R1 billion bond issue. We dragged that we got at a better interest rate than Johannesburg. But we we continue to plan over the next number of years to basically on an annual basis to have further bond issues in order to fund our long-term capital project. And we do have working and now for some years operational systems and credit lighting systems. Although we have to continue particularly on the data issues on that system, with 800,000 accounts essentially, the chances of having data problems are significant, and it's something that we are looking to ensure that we clean up. I'll skip over to why we're important, I'm sure you all know that. What's driving the city's growth is migration. You see, we're looking at about 15,000 families per annum of tourist people that have been coming into the city. We have an upwardly mobile population, and as people move into better accommodation, that also means more roads, more cars, more everything else, more water consumption, etc. So that is driving our need for our services. New housing delivery, but we still, at least for all income groups, for rich and poor, we're sitting low around, we believe, around 400,000 households that are inadequately housed in the city, and that is important and take us many years to resolve. But the other area which we have a significant problem with is what is generally known as the gap market. Those who don't qualify for government subsidies but also cannot get housing in terms of the private sector. Those properties of 100,000 to 400,000, that is the gap in the market that is not being adequately filled by either government or the private sector. And the area that we are looking at to unlock as much as we can. We have in the city 220 informal settlements. We have a plan for all those settlements to get basic service delivery into those settlements. It has been a problem for us. We've driven particularly it's easy to go and put in water supply to everybody to get a certain level of sanitation into place. Difficulties come in when you want the roads in. To try and formalize the area to some extent because of the density usually of amenities and things. The lack of land from which you can de-densify, we would take people out of those important settlements into new areas. The availability of land is a very, very serious restriction on our ability to implement our strategy. We also find that the destruction levels of the infrastructure we do put in is very high. But the toilet is virtually not a permanent provision, it's almost a consumable because we virtually have to go put in 50% of the back in the following year to examine the destruction. And that applies to many of the other services that we put into informal settlements. Just quickly to see on the left hand side, that's what Cape Town looked like 50 years ago in terms of development, and you can see how much the expansion of the city has been in that 7 years. Particularly to the southeast, which is the poorer part of the city, and that is where our biggest service delivery on the basic level is concerned. Our growth corridors up the west coast, problems there are simply distances, but getting public transport in place is not there for public transport. And to the northeast, it's also that growing corridor that's in the problem. So, in order to address this, we've adopted a variable growth strategy. that we look at both trying to identify the city much more because the consolidated continues to expand up these growth corridors only. As we are unable to expand in the other direction, these areas would become very distant from the rest of the city. And the movement along the term would make it very, very difficult to service those at an affordable level. And so we are driving the strategy of densification in the existing city and trying to manage these growth areas to ensure that as they develop, we achieve adequate densification. One particular problem for us is Atlantis, which is the number at the top of the map there. It is so disconnected from the rest of the city. And with a poor population, with inadequate jobs, and anyone who doesn't have an income finds it virtually impossible to find a job because within a week you use up all your money in terms of transport to come to the rest of the city, and then you're unable to actually physically come to take on to the working. So that's clearly public transport and connectivity to Atlantis is very important. I think in terms of our connection to the rest of government, I think we've identified that state-owned enterprises are key to what we would like. That is where the biggest impact is on the city. The Port Authority, because we're a port city, what they do is important. The international airport, the railways and airport. These are the key people who what they do or don't do have a big impact on them. In terms of the Port Authority, the port expansion is the key issue. They need to expand significantly, but land availability again is a significant problem, particularly here where it pushes into the city and there's simply not space to accommodate the expansion. And also there is difficulties about them expanding out into the table there because of environmental issues essentially. But this is obviously having an effect of talking is very important to us. And that interface with the city is something we have to address. With our view that tourism is so important to Cape Town, obviously the international airport is important. We're really glad to see the significant expansions that are taking place there. Also, because the airport is located right in the middle of our city, it does have another issue, and that is the noise corridors, which in fact create an area where we cannot develop immediately around the airport. And again, that impacts on us. Railways, still, in terms of commuter systems, are important to us because it is still the backbone of the public transport in Cape Town. I think more than any other system in South Africa, we rely on the commuter rail system. Unfortunately, the level of service has gone backwards over the past 20 years, and so we're not getting the maximum effectiveness we can out of our commuter rail system, and that's obviously an issue that we believe it is addressed in a cost-effective way, in a very effective way, improving the transport situation. But what's also important to us is the transport of goods from the harbour, particularly up to into and out of our harbour. The fact that so much transport has now moved off rail onto road transport is impacting us. Just getting those trucks out of the harbour through the city, the impact they have on the road system. Not only our own roads, but those of the province and of the national government, the national road. It's a serious impact, and we do believe that some action is required if we're going to have a sustainable system of freight transport. ESCOM is clearly very important, the electricity cuts we've had, and Cape Town, I think, experienced it earlier than elsewhere. has an impact on our industry, has an impact on the confidence of our investors, and is currently strongly impacting on our development, because this from a not including housing developments, for example, and big industrial developments, because they do not have power. The nuclear power station in Kruger, where they are considering both the pedal bed modular reactor and possibly nuclear one as well. That, of course, squeezes the available land up this West Coast corridor, which is one of our two growth corridors. And we believe that impact, not only of the existing power station, but of the potential future power stations, has a significant impact on our ability to grow. And as a result of that, has significant cost implications for us. And we do believe that this comes needs to come to the party in terms of bearing some of those costs. If it is to proceed with development. We do have a fully developed IDP, which is fully aligned with the provincial growth and development strategy. And that alignment is on the basis of infrastructure, development focus, growing the local economy, and in terms of regional growth. We do have annual discussions with province, engagements, particularly at the official level, which I think the relationship between the city and the province at the official level is really good. And let me say, although the political level is this far at one stage, I think more recently the new premier really seems to be an improvement in that relationship. And we certainly had very, I think, constructive meeting last week between the mayor, the premier, the cabinet, and the mayor committee. We just put on the table all the issues that affected each other, and we hope to that those are going to now reach some resolution. On housing, we are city and the province are aligned. We have a 5-year housing plan and an IDP for housing. Okay, our current initiatives is that public transport is a key initiative. It's a key shortcoming in the city. We do not have enough public transport. We are now busy. We have started specifically with the building our new bus rapid transit system with significant funding from national government, but also our own significant contribution to that. We are focusing first of all on the airport to city and also the West Coast corridor, which at this stage has no public transport system. And we hope by March 2010 to have that first in operation. The World Cup, our stadium is progressing very well. We are at the stage now where the concrete work is virtually finished. We've at roof level. In fact, started with the ring beam from which the roof is going to hang. The unrelated infrastructure, such as particularly transport infrastructure, is also well underway. Problem here comes around financing. We are selling out the projected cost for the stadium is 4.5 billion. We have approved funding at the stage of 3.8 billion. The shortfall is 650 million. We do have a strategy by which we are hoping to close that gap. We've had significant provision from our national government, but we are continuing to talk to National Treasury, and we are hopeful that they will continue to assist us to close that funding gap. I think the big problem which is now arising is the issue of the funding of the operating costs for 2010. Initiatives such as the Bass Rapid Transit System, that is still not going to be adequate to deal with the vast numbers of people that we anticipate coming in. I think, you know, if we think of a game such as 2010, if that took place in a country such as in Europe or North America or even the Far East, where they had very significant public transport systems in place where they have lots of policemen, for example, they can cope with these sort of events quite easily. But we are very short on public transport, we are very short on policing, and so we have to put significant amounts of money in of temporary provision of both transport and policing, and also just getting the police stadium up and running. You know, that is alone, not just the capital cost, it's getting operational costs into the stadium running. That's all, this stage we're projecting around 500 million rand is what it's going to cost us on operational costs alone. And we are further hoping insisting that national government come to the pot and do the business that should be the real case for them to come to the pot on the operational cost as well. We have an asset management strategy for all our services. It's not finally in place yet, but it's looking far along. As you know, we have the International Convention Center here, which has been an incredible success for the city. Though we wrote off the capital costs, it's funded by the province and the city. It has, on an operational level, it has been profitable from day one. In fact, in this last financial year, the turnover of 107 million rand over 7 million overall costs. And we do, there's a very good case for the expansion of the convention centre. We have been engaging for a couple of years now with the Department of Public Works to take over the convention, customs house site. That got quite far, but when there was a change of minister, I'm afraid things need to come to a bit of a halt. We're trying to again unlock that discussion. But again, we can really only get this upgrade to happen if we get assistance from other spheres of government, provincial and national, to come in to again co-fund this expansion. But if we look at the financial benefits that accrue not only to the Cape Town economy, but even to in fact other parts of the economy, no job is created in Cape Town, someone buys a washing machine, that washing machine will be damaged. There are spin-offs, it's not only that Cape Town gets all the benefits, although it's a very significant benefit economically, that the benefits do accrue across the country. I spoke earlier a bit on the housing. We are, in terms of the debt market, we have entered into a partnership with the bank. We are making pockets of land available for them to partner with developers to produce gap housing. It's still, I believe, in a development phase. It's not yet produced a large number of houses, but I think we are progressing on that in terms of understanding the implications of it and seeing what works and what does not work. But it's certainly an area that we believe we have to pursue very strongly, because we believe in the future that's going to have a significant impact on our ability to deliver housing. We're looking at limited housing solutions. As I spoke earlier, we have an informal settlement upgrade program. My target is to deliver at this stage 10,000 housing opportunities per annum. It's not enough. We have to get this up to a much higher level, but this is all that our resources at this moment in time allows to do. We've achieved over the last 2 years approximately 5,000 housing opportunities a year. We are not ourselves satisfied with that delivery. I think we face a number of challenges. One is that we've not received housing accreditation. That is very important in terms of the time frame. So it's a key issue. If we have housing accreditation, we would be able to deliver the housing projects much quicker. That is one of the points on which we are engaging the provincial government at this stage. The list there, you see that all the issues, the many issues around that. We also have these old hospitals in Cape Town. which we are busy refurbishing and upgrading those to proper housing opportunities. And we're busy with a comprehensive upgrade of the city's long established rental property. Land restitution is perhaps not as big for Cape Town as it is in other parts of the country, but does impact on it. Let me say that land generally is a massive problem for us as far as housing is concerned. The city itself does not own extensive housing for undeveloped land. The province owns a lot of the available land within our boundaries. We do own land up in Atlantis, but that is still so disconnected from the city that it's premature for us to pursue significant housing opportunities up that way. And the cost of land in Cape Town is expensive. We talk around 1 to 1.5 million rand a hectare, the sort of day rate for undeveloped land. And of course, what's also important is that, unlike other parts of the country where there's good ground infrastructure or ground underlying this, we're sitting on farms. We can't just go put in a gravel road. We simply cannot deserve on that basis. We have to go and second those sand dunes, we have to build proper roads, tar roads. It's the only way we can actually do it is also that we have very flat topography, which means that gravity systems like stormwater and sewage gravity flows are more expensive than areas that have been some kind of slope on them. So the cost of providing infrastructure in our geographic and condition is quite expensive. And these are very serious limiting factors for us when we have funding programs that really don't take these things into account. That limits what we can do. We end up struggling to be able to provide the infrastructure for our within those funding models. We have supply chain management. We see it's been very key to our city. Through our supply chain system, we spend 6 billion rand a year. We issue 800 purchase orders a day. Now, I think to give you some kind of idea of the size of the operation that we have in terms of supply chain management. We focus very strongly in terms of our policy, in terms of SMEC and BEC support. And at this stage, about 50% of our supply, of our procurement, our supply chain management department has now got ISO 9001 accreditation and releases the request for local government in South Africa, and this is something we are actually quite proud of. One of our problems in terms of our people's city space is collecting their income. Our income collection rates on most of our services are very good, sitting around 96%. But our biggest problem is housing, where we are currently around about 56% collection ratio. That's come up from the mid 40%, so we've had some improvement. And now we are busy with some initiatives to try and turn that around. We've had successes with our hospitals, where we appointed community-based groups to assist with that administration and debt collection. And we now can't expand that. We are busy expanding that initiative to the rest of our housing market. I spoke earlier about housing accreditation. We have conditional level 1 accreditation, but that is still not adequate to give us what we need. And we're discussing the MEC has undertook at the meeting last week that he's going to give us level 2 accreditation next year, and we look forward to that will be the lead that will assist our delivery to the MEC. I won't spend too much time on this, but I'll say we do have the asset management program. You can see the points where we are dealing with that. Mobility strategy. We have a military strategy for the city, which I've already alluded to, particularly in terms of the Russia-Africa conflict. This just gives you an overview. Our current year's budget of $22.5 billion, $17 billion of that is operational and $5.4 billion capital. You can see our capital budget, the first, these are the 3 years, current 3 year budget. The first is capital grant and donations. The reason it's trading off is that the trading will be trading off. We're hoping that can be replaced with some new capital grants from national government, so that we don't have to step down, but we can shoot up. You will see that our EFF, that's our borrowing, are quite significant, but that our expenditure from capital reserves is in fact going down. Essentially, what we've done over the last couple of years, previously, the city capped its expenditure from EFF at around $900 million a year. You see, we've grown that, we've actually doubled that EFF funding. What happened in practice, because it was, I think, artificially capped, line department started creating surpluses in the operational budget in order to fund subsequent years through the capital reserve. We did not believe that was the most effective way to do it. We're not really leveraging our income. And so what we've done is to put the squeeze essentially on that practice and rather borrow more money so that we can get our infrastructure in place earlier and leverage those incomes. In terms of our medium term modeling, our current level of expenditure on EFF is sustainable. Capital funding sources, we see capital grants donations this year is half, and that's very largely related to 2010. And you see that 2010's impact on the capital grant has been significant over the last few years. Just looking at our split of capital spend across the city, you will see that the biggest spend is in utility services. That's the number we've essentially doubled over the last 2 to 3 years. We're sitting around $750 million a year. Now we're sitting at $1.5 billion. That's essentially electricity, water, sewage, etc. What the approach we've taken is that basic services are the most critical, most critically responsive things for us to have to get right. We do not want to end up with the ESCOM scenario where you don't invest for many years and suddenly you hit a crisis and you are suddenly put in a situation where you have to have massive increases in your tariffs in order to be able to catch up rapidly. So we've taken, although we get a lot of flack from our public, we 2 years ago significantly increased the tariffs to ensure that the medium term flows to those departments is adequate to deliver on both their backlog and their growth requirements over the next number of years. I think that is beginning to show an effect in terms of electricity. We, for instance, have a significant upgrade here for the city centre and Greenpoint. There hasn't been an upgrade to electricity in this part of the city for many years, even before the growth of the waterfront, that we had that significant upgrade. Areas, particularly eastern parts of the city, growth there, those electricity intake stations have been inadequate, and we're putting significant resources there. And some of the older parts of our electricity infrastructure are more than 40 years old, and we're doing preventative replacements to ensure that we continue to deliver electricity. Our target is 100% delivery whenever it's available. But the second biggest number is their service delivery integration. That includes our 2010 operation, and that's the reason for that big number. After that, roads and transport is obviously our biggest need. We are not anywhere near net providing the level of funding for our roads and transport. I think we frustrate the transport system, and then the national government funding is assisting us massively. That number of 425 million is going to grow very dramatically next year with the BRT funding coming into that. We hope that we can continue to roll out that program and continue to get support from the national government into the future to allow us to turn that around. We have to change the way the city operates. It is very ineffective on transport wise, too many cars on the road, not enough public transport. And with the medium to long term issues around not only availability of oil, but the climate concerns, we have to get people out of their cars and into public transport. And that means we have to provide public transport that is effective. That is our key plan, is to get them, is that we will focus very strongly on public transport routes, and we may not be building very many other roads. It's not a road that a public transport bus or something runs on. We may seriously now, we in fact are really seriously starting to consider whether we should build any such road. The other problem is a very significant shortfall on maintenance of roads. The preliminary study that we have shows we need between 400 and 500 million rand a year on maintenance of our 10,000 kilometers of road. And we're currently only have 125 million a year for road maintenance. And that's an area that we're going to have to seriously check up into the future. Let me just say that on both repairs and maintenance generally across the city, we spent 1.2 billion the last year. That is increased. 2 years ago, it was about 800 million, so it was increased expenditure on repairs and maintenance by over 50% in the last year. On city finance, we have to balance the non-revenue generating and revenue generating growth areas of the city. I mentioned that earlier. We cannot simply grow the poor areas if we don't also grow areas where there are people who do generate income to the city. That's critical for our medium to long term future. We struggle to operate sustainably with our existing income schemes, which are essentially the tariffs of services, where we're moving much of the game, in fact, are very close to full cost recovery on those services. But our only other real source is rates, property rates. It is not really an adequate source. We really do need other sources of income if we are going to lift the level of service delivery in the city where we want to be. We have those major funding sources from national, the three key ones there at the moment. We have to get the structuring. We're not entirely yet aligned, our budget not yet entirely aligned to our IEP. I think we can, has been progress on that, and we continue to move it towards complete alignment with the IEP. Now, one of the difficulties we do have around state funding, broader funding, is that we have difficulties of alignment between between those funding sources and what we actually want to do. We get, for example, NIC funding for services, and then we get housing department funding for the top structure. And those might not come, they might not be aligned. And that means that we actually cannot proceed with the project. Where we have also co-funding on a project, such as the road with the province or national, we go and put the money, our portion of that onto our budget, and then we wait for the province to come forward with this portion. So we cannot proceed with that project until we've got that funding in place. And although it might be on border, it seems there's a problem actually getting putting those funds into our bank account. And this is an area that we believe that there needs to be significant risk on national government in terms of how it structures funding towards local governments. I can't speak for, I'm sure that the common problem for the metro at least is possibly also a problem for other municipalities. We also believe that government departments need to take account of our IDPs just as much as we need to align our budget to the IDPs. We need the national government departments need to talk to us before the funding allocations are made to ensure that those funding go into the area that best suits our own needs. I think I've covered some of the other points. City income recovery is key to us. As I said, we do have a very good level of recovery at this stage. But obviously, when we are very tough in terms of our credit control policy, we also have to take account of those who can't pay. We must distinguish very clearly between those who can't pay and those who won't pay, which we try to do to ensure that we have an adequate rate and rebate structure in place to assist those who cannot pay. And then we get very tough with those who can pay the claims. And so, one of the measures we're taking are water flow control measures, which where we can set it at a level that the customer is able to afford. They get every day an allocated amount, then the meter shuts off once they've used that amount. That allows them to control their water bills. And that has helped us. Couple of years back, we'll see that the collection ratio on water was around 67%, and now we've got it up to 91%. Through a combination of a leaks program, we go into even private houses and fix their leaks, and then we install these water flow devices for them. And we also then write off arrears once they've proceeded to be part of that program. And that together with the tough credit control measures on everyone else, results has been a significant assistance to get that collection ratio up so dramatically. And you think what that has meant in terms of cash flow into our system from 67, another 24%. Nearly a 30% more cash coming into us into the bank account, which means we are able to do more, we're able to increase those income streams to the services without initially jacking the tariff charges up dramatically. I've mentioned the bond issue, grant funding, I think I've covered. We are looking at ongoing restructuring of the operation. So those are the basics that we've driven over the last number of years. Now we have to look to the future. And these are some specific CapEx growth items that we are addressing. In water, additional infrastructure, it's $500 million worth. Particularly a big sewer system. We do serious work out at the Pontical to enable that northwest, north-eastern section of the city. We've just completed the upgrade to Poster and serious work, which services the West Coast corridor. And we are busy with I think six or upgrading to six other serious stations across the city. We're looking in a year or two to build in a new water treatment plant to take water from the Newburgh River Dam to service part of the city, and we're already beginning to provide funding for that in our category here. I've mentioned electricity upgrades, the Rockaby upgrade, the city centre upgrade. Now on the rate funded services, street lighting is an important area. land acquisition, as I mentioned, we would need some order of billion rand if we don't buy all the land that we need for housing projects. And we would need to look in advance to make sure we are now already acquiring land, even though the housing may be coming down 5 to 10 years down the line. We are working now already to ensure that we have enough land for that future. Significant growth of very hospital beds, which is, has been one of the metropolitan bottlenecks. Kruger Interchange is the other one, which has been upgraded by the province. Besides Greenpoint Stadium, we also have significant expansion to Afran Stadium, business supported in these facilities, park. Spatial system, you see the Grand Parade, we're revitalizing, which is going to be a fan park for 2010. And we are also now have initiated our own fiber optic broadband system. Our intention is to put 300 kilometers of fiber optic around the city, initially to service all our own buildings, but we believe that we will also have some community advantages as well. There's just some numbers in terms of our operating budget. I will skip over that quickly. These are our collection ratios, which I have mentioned earlier. You will see that we're still sitting over 95%. We intend to stay in that band and higher. Our salaries, wages and allowances, you'll see are around 22-23% of our total budget. Despite some really significant pressures in terms of us having to resolve issues such as salary parity, the amalgamation of the different previous local authorities, salary parity issues have not been addressed previously, and that in the draft budget adds to the considerable amount to our salary talks. I'm afraid the numbers in that last column are incorrect. But as I mentioned earlier, we're spending around 1.2 billion rand a year. Well, the reason for that is that that's only part of the financial year. So this current year is around 1.2 billion. Comes to the issue of daughter allocation. This year, I think this is different numbers on our ability to, I suppose it was actually the previous 2 years and the allocation for this year. You'll see on the civil share, we're spending 99% of that on this funding. On the current financial year, the critical share should be 1.7 billion. That number is incorrect. On NIC funding, that is really struggled a bit, but part of that story is around the mismatch between different funding systems. As far as Greenpoint Stadium is concerned, we are spending every cent that we get. We'll spend more if we're given more. And on public transport, that we're 10 years behind, but we certainly are catching up rapidly in terms of the VRT. We attended the approval of council has approved phase 1A. Tenders are issued, I believe, the first tender I think might have been awarded already. And construction will start soon of approximately 1 billion rand worth of that later. I do believe that we will catch up early this year in terms of that funding. I think the other numbers are satisfactory. We do, as I mentioned earlier, provide rebates to those people who have difficulty to pay. We have a significant rebate for our senior citizens as disabled persons. If your income, household income is less than 7,000 rand a month and you're over the age of 60, you qualify for a rebate. If it's under 2,880 rand a month, it's 100% rebate on your rate. Then it's just under 7,000 rand a month. So last year, 17,000 people entered from that rebate. We had 53,000 applications this year, but we've not finished processing those. But I think that should show that we are able to reach a significant portion of those people who are sitting with fixed income. Our immigrant grant, then we give respective of your age, but certainly others too, your income is under 2,880 rand a month. You get 100% rebate on the rate, and we've now extended that to child-headed households as well. And also, if your property value is less than 88,000 rand, you also get 100% rebate. And we also get, in terms of our own rental schemes, we have a very generous lease rate for those schemes, for people who are under our qualifying immigrant value of 2,000, which equates to two state pensions plus a 1,000. That's essentially how we've got to that now. And then in addition to four properties under 199,000, we've seen the 30 rand immigrant grant for yours and implementation, and that 30 rand grant also goes to other people who registered as immigrant people. Informal settlement program, you see the numbers there of what we have provided. All informal settlements had access to sanitation and water, not mentioned yet at the level that we want them at. And we have this plan that we're rolling out, and we're constantly reviewing how we roll it out, particularly because of the significant vandalism that we experience. I think that's a problem for us. We more engagement with communities, we realize, is absolutely essential if the service delivery to informal settlement is to succeed. The simple engineering solution of going in and putting the water in and everything doesn't work. We've got to have a comprehensive program where we work with the community and get their full buy-in to the services we deliver. So we are a water-scarce area. We have, as I mentioned, migration to step on it. There's a water project to feed us the water, but we are going to have to put infrastructure in order to deliver that to the city. Solid waste, our problem now is limited landfill sites. We've had to close down many of the smaller landfill sites across the city. They've got to their full capacity. We're about to close a few more, which in fact will leave us in a couple of years' time with only two landfill sites, that's Kippenhof in the north and the coastal park around near Newtonburg. As a result of that, the landfills are becoming further and further away from where the waste has been generated. We're having to build transfer stations where we bulk the collection so that our refuse collection trucks don't have to drive many kilometers to these sites. They're not built for that. We've bulk bales put on either trucks or rail lines to take it to the landfill site. In a few years, we will only have put the bulk, I think by 2013. And then we are currently looking at the new site further north. That's subject of an RAD. I heard from this in the debate earlier, the issues around the RAD, we're still waiting for an appeal on an RAD for that site. So that issue is taken up with the provincial government. But because of those longer distances, it's an issue we have to change the way we operate. We have to move towards more recycling, so at the transfer stations we're also building in recycling plants. And for those to be economically effective, you have to get the collection of recyclables up to a certain level. And that's also a challenge. We can't do all of this at once, and it's putting a great pressure on our solid waste budget over the next couple of years while we put that all into place. I think I've addressed many of the electricity issues. We do get 50 kilowatt hours free electricity to any household where the consumption is below 400, but their purchase is less than 400 kilowatt hours. I've mentioned the wastewater treatment. I've dealt with some of these. I think we come back to the repairs and maintenance budget, as I mentioned earlier. We have improved significantly from 800 million to 1.2 billion in terms of our R&M, but that is still nowhere near the norm. We ourselves recognize that, and we are aggressively looking at ways to shift our budget to put more money into the government. Now, some of the discussion points. If I've mentioned earlier, the issues around financial flows from state funds, they are the line to our IDP, that perhaps the national government would look more closely at these issues of its policies, that the one size fits all may not be across the country. As I mentioned around our costs of land, costs of infrastructure here, which we believe are probably more significant because of our local conditions than elsewhere, and we believe that these things need to significantly go into the country. And we look forward to further specific project funding, the major projects, particularly around public transport and landfill. We look forward to continued housing accreditation and looking for that more variable policy funding principle. One thing we do want to see is that greater interaction between the city and government departments and state place, so that we don't get what in the end is money that is really dumped on us at short notice and we're not in a position to spend it. We need interaction ahead of time, agreement on what it is that we are this year going to build houses and next year we're going to do something else. If that is what suits us, not something that just suits a national government funding program on a national basis. It has to be much, much better thought through and far better coordination. We believe there needs to be consideration of immigration. We do believe that 2001 census data is simply not really good if you're trying to understand what the city needs of. There are people that flow into the city. And they don't seem to be anywhere on anyone's number system. And that's not taking, so our funding is not taking that into account. We do believe, as I mentioned earlier, that property rate is not of its own adequate income source. And we do believe that other sources are required. We need 1 billion rand a year that we lost of RSE levy. We are getting some incredible share in terms of that, but that is nowhere near where we believe our RSE levies would have been by this stage. They would have been much higher. And we really do believe that an additional source come with a portion of the fuel levy, a business tax, whatever that might be. But I think that's something that really needs some diligent attention. We know that it has been getting attention, but we believe some resolution on that matter. I think I've just touched you up. So that's it. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hennessy. It's been a very healthy and challenge. I'm going to ask the challenge to be but a very issues of this alliance. And I think the last issue, all the points of discussion are well successful. And so, what is therefore critical for me when you say on the road? But I do want to check with you whether there are matters of life and death on the point.
I'm going to ask for that and to think well to take it to the level of that in depth. But I would have something really to a key member of my in depth. In your presentation, honestly, two occasions, you mentioned your concern of something that was put in place to ensure that that segment of the population of the city that generates income is growing so that it can support the other segment that is dependent on the other one. And I'm just wondering, what is it that the city, really, in collaboration with other government partners, the provincial level, is doing to ensure that this other segment that is so dependent on this other segment begins to, you know, to also grow in terms of, you know, generating income for the city and doesn't become potentially dependent on the other sector.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for the presentation and energy. I've got two questions to ask. The first one is with regards to the increase in the capital budget. You know, the concern that we have been raising is the ability to spend on the capital budget. Because as is now, the 0809 budget has increased by about 26%, and the spending on the budget for the previous financial year was at 35.6%. Now, with this massive increase, and when you take out the 2020 for grant, the increase is in the range of 30 to 40%. Now the question is, have you put in process in place then to ensure that the capital budget as it has increased so far will be able to spend reasonable level, say 95 or 2%? And the second issue now is that I know the people have got the infrastructure growth strategy. Now, the capital expenditure, most of the 5.4 billion is all the infrastructure, and most of it is non-revenue generating when in the contrary of, in the absence of the contrary. Now, the challenge then will be on the, as you mentioned in your presentation, the replacement, so the maintenance cost going forward over the next couple of years on this infrastructure, which is non-revenue generating, will be a challenge. And we need to have measures in place so that we can link to the future replacement and maintenance cost. Another issue then is on the unconditional grant. I checked in the financial statement here and the CEO is stated below it that there was an unconditional grant of 1.6 billion. This increased from 537 million in the previous financial year. Now, this then kind of agrees with my earlier observation with regards to the ability to spend on, you know, on treatment. The third issue is on the last slide, you mentioned group of alternative sources of revenue. You know, and let me caution here that any additional taxes that are raised, you know, or very should be in line with the municipal fiscal powers and functions, and there are processes that are outlined, you know, in the Act before any tax can be levied. And with regard to the replacement, RSP replacement, one of the concessions that have been made about the effect of you. That the top party rate income is exempted from that. So that provides some leeway, you know, with regards to a bit of these policies to have additional revenue, but then the last that matter. The answer talk about the fuel levy that has been investigated to boost the revenue for the municipality. I don't know if you and remember what the our colleague from provincial said, I don't know if you want to hear from
that. Listen, you're not allowed to ask questions. You are allowed to say this is what we shall be doing together. To address some of the things that you see on this presentation. That's the purpose of the mission. So if they will not respond to us, I will be saying in my callback, sit with them, look at what I'm doing.
We've done extensive work on a range of these issues. For instance, the flow of the funding and the local lines, the distribution of proper funding systems, not paying material. We've got a frame material that staggers the flow. And James and our colleagues have talked, if you want, to the alignment model that we've been exploring, the differentiating approach that we are putting on the table. So, to be very specific, I think in 2009, the order that we will bring to the next in this hour, there will be a radical proposal on a range of these issues. One being the perfect package that the city is like tonight, but certainly we are taking these issues very seriously. And hopefully we can address a range of them in this next hour.
And maybe one of the things
I'd
like to do area, especially ourselves, the metro, and maybe some of the bigger municipalities in the type of administration, just as
we are seeing the metro as a result of that work that we've done the last 2 years, probably 27 or November. We say we need to be involved in the whole
and then what we have to do then, in fact, part of our government, we've always been missing, but we've not, because South has always spoken on their behalf. And maybe we might want to invite the six metros, maybe, to have a question. Okay?
And then
this agreement we are currently being finalized immediately after we finalize the new OEK. And we are told those things have been pending since 2005. British Airways has not been paid by this. And they have spent a lot of money. Also, an N2K2 project. End of this year, around May, we received the communication that we now got all the information from British Airways for all day. But still to date, this is not yet final. And there is still money that they are now saying we could have applied this money because of the liability. And they are saying you cannot invest conditional funds. Because this year there is another funding. Why do you budget it in the current funding? And the expenditure this year is very low in terms of MIT. And definitely they are not going to spend this money. When we look at the project, they've got projects to the value of about 1.5 billion. But just to get those projects on the ground, I think that's the biggest problem. So this element here, we need to understand it in context. Because as I'm talking today, 7, 8 months are sitting at the reserve, they invested the money somewhere. The current allocation, they're giving us the minister to pay. And at the moment, we decided to say, no, but we can't continue paying without expenditure being reported. And that this is one matter that really frustrates us. And I've spent a lot of time on this, and maybe you can help us to get this money to be paid to the show. Department of Housing wrote several letters, and also the province. The province is here. But we are not moving, we are not going anywhere here. The other point that I just want to raise defensive to the housing. I think we need to also be clear coming to the housing. Yesterday we were told that there are about 300,000 housing backlogs. Now if we are to do those 300,000 houses, I don't know in terms of square meters of land how much we need. And do we have it? Where is it? Because those are the things that we need to also try to answer as a matter of that. When this fund comes, then we are able to spend the fund. Thank you.
Okay. Look, what's supposed to happen on this one? Yeah. As I was saying, National National Housing to feed within the municipality. Look at all these transactions that relate to this matter of the because one of the things that work out is that this service must happen. That allocation must be allowed to flow. And go if the municipality has problems. Let's find a way of resolving those problems together and ensure that all that problem is and so in the next 2 weeks that and you can come back here and talk about this so that we don't want to see you see having seen all of the matters that have been here especially with the threat of how we've got to move with speed to resolve those matters. Okay? Let's not get afraid. This might be a wonderful opportunity to get involved in this. Okay. The next time we talk about this, we want you to be telling us that we are moving. MIG and every little, including all of these matters that talk to me about alignment and analogy. Okay? So I'm just saying, let's talk.
Thank you very much, Chair. There were four issues raised with regards to ESCOM. The first one, they say, or they allege, that we do not comply with the IGP. Chair, I've got a letter here dated the 17th of October. 2008, confirming a resolution of the 28th of May, which reads as follows. In addition to the above, it is confirmed that the above mentioned project form part of the 289 financial year IDP and has been approved in line with power resolution number SPC 03-05-08, dated 28th May 2008. So I think that one says that I'm prepared to make that available.
Okay.
Secondly, the issue of aligning housing and education platform. We are currently doing N2 gateway and after the city chicken out of that project. And then now the housing department approached the DMV and ESCOM to come in. As a result, that we started that around about June, July last year, which was outside our own financial year. But at the same time, what possibly could be the issue is the fact that we are running on two different financial years with the municipality. Ours is end of March, they are the end of June. But I think it's something that... Yes.
What we need to do is talk about property affairs. Let me see my last line. For us, it's not a big issue. Two financial affairs.
Yes.
If your plans are tied, nothing can go wrong.
No, I'm saying, Shelley, I think we need just to get the sharing of plans between us and the
beautiful.
And the city.
But I'm not sure.
Yes. Then now the third one is the issue of the embargo, where they are talking about us not connecting or giving them new polymer supply. Here, I will follow up on this because my memory serves me well. The embargo that we had beginning of last year was lifted one day of last year. And then now, any applications that municipalities and the cities make right now, those are for sale.
Okay.
And the last one is the Quebec issue and the land. We will take that up and then now we'll have full engagement with the city.
What you said now, that is an issue that we have to engage with, they want that.
because it is one of the problems that we have in South Africa. And also, with the other aspect that we discussed, the issue of assets, it's a fundamental problem, the issue of water losses, the issue of water waste and demand management, etc. So that perspective is important, and from the department's perspective, that's what it is on that aspect. Then for me, the last point, Chester, before I give to my colleague, on the one on the utility services, basic services, water. We have provided now to the city of Cape Town a new project, the Burke Water Project. But obviously, as indicated in this particular slide, there are hard choices to make for Cape Town, because where do we go to the next augmentation scheme for this? I think that what we will have to do here, we have to invest in new technology for the city. Whether we go to desalinization, the issue of increase and using of effluent.
No,
I just want to raise the issue, the fundamental to the point that they have set here, Jefferson. That for us to provide for them for the growth that they have indicated, they are fundamental issues when it comes to water, as a growth, as an input, as a result to make this growth happen. And that is what I've said. So therefore, we have to look real from a perspective of the city also. What are the kind of options? And we have to be, here's going to be major policy shifts that the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry is going to put on the table. That for coastal cities, how we can deal not only with Cape Town, but Durban, or Etchegrini, Nelson Mandela, all of these particular cities, how do we deal with the issue of water as a result here? Because a lot of the effluent that we put into the sea, where we could have used that effluent better from a perspective. But I agree, that is an issue.
You've made your point.
Yes,
ma'am. The only thing is the whole discussion. I wanted to say in that discussion,
okay,
and the report.
I just want to give to my colleagues to particular on the issue of water services.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'd like to use the opportunity and thank you for the opportunity here and sharing others again. As you directed us to get together and I'd like to then do that initiative because it's on a very high level. For example, as I like to put this then, and we are very close to working together, 6.4 billion, they need to meet the 2014 target. And I think that is what we should say. Is what is the level of funding and how they can get it to deliver the government. Now the government mandate is universal access that can be we need about 6.4 billion. The rest of the spending at the moment is at the end of 2026. But I'd like to bring that into 2026. We must get that, we must track that so that the funding level, the capability of funding, of spending, etc. And on the treasury here, let's get together and share ideas in infrastructure investment. Investigation for all the 50 municipalities in the region. That shows that more than 99% of the municipalities will not meet the 2014 target. That is totally because of the funding. So we need to get together on that and please guide us as to how we can get together. I think on top of the chairpersonship, you are the national integrator from what I see, because you're getting us together. And another matter just to say, that the percentage compliance of the effluent, as they indicate, the level of funding, they are going to reach 85% compliance according to our standards. In other words, our rivers are not going to get cleaner, but they only can comply 85% to our standards. It means that our rivers are still going to get cleaner, about 15 to 20%. That cannot be. You can't steal half a car. So we have to reach 100%. Can you use your office to raise those issues and bring it to a very high level? You say that you either pollute or don't pollute. And lastly, not very happy about the infant mortality, that is not particularly related, but a health issue and concerning water. That if we still allow for, they say, about 20 deaths per thousand, it's not acceptable. We need to track that also and bring that infant mortality rate right down. And lastly, the informal areas that I hear, Joe Slova, I think, is in this area for more than 25 years. It can't still be informal. So we need to have an informal to formal settlement in a very structured and very, what shall I say, fast-paced way. Those issues and some of the others that are not raised now, but thank you, Chair, for the time. Can we raise those issues on your role?
Of course, please. Why are you on here?
Thank you very much.
It's about, look, this election is just a stem and act. And this is why I'm saying people resist the temptation. Because it can be there. These are all our issues. And surely, if these people are resisting in engaging with you, you cannot understand it. So that people cannot therefore believe that there is this problem and that when people are kind of engaged and they are resisting.
Can be examined after this. All right, that's what I'm saying. Just to say that Islam has complied with our drinking water policy by working together 99.9% of the time.
Good.
I think that is a
successful
thing.
Good.
Who else is coming,
you know?
Thank you.
He still wasn't.
You didn't have
more than
so
many
of them.
If
he does
talk,
you'll say this is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a lot of common. When we engage with them, I think it's just, if I missed from all the matters, is the water loss is unaccountable. It's actually also money loss.
Yeah.
I think when we engage with them, we should work on that. What would be also the capital needed to put that cost? And that's an aspect. And when we engage with them, also make sure all the other cities will engage on that topic and see how to quantify it in terms of one terms. If you want to decrease the losses, if you need money, my colleague from the DBA next to me, maybe they'll fund some of these programs, but I think we should take on that.
This is why I said, when you come together, you will want to talk all of the old infrastructure is like, and therefore cost. So that if it then means we must go to the market, all of us, that's to that. But having done all of these, for now, it is inappropriate to be talking about all of these things without having done a proper forensic kind of investigation about all of the infrastructure needs and so on, the losses, water losses, electricity, illegal connections, both water and electricity, all of those things are very good.
I think that I'm not going to just an amended fact that we are limiting the effect of, you know, up on the last that is clear, listening. The effect that we will take out that there are a number of issues. And I think that this issue is just not enough to say to them, go and meet them. We would really like to meet them. So that the archive is not cooperation, we really need to understand and intervene on those areas. Then the other area that was of interest to me is the misalignment idea that I think that next time I wish to invite them and where we spend the day one night, because he did it enough time. It was one night, but we saw that all of us can really understand the issue. And if we pay to them, go back and work these things together to also see what is it that must be worked together and when we come back to our town to really clear. But I think that the issue that I really need to be, I see that the issue that needs to be addressed amongst others. The group one is to do the job. I think that it must be addressed. I'm saying that it's about to wind up the government of services. But I think that if there are such issues, whether outstanding money that
all right. Now, one of the most critical things then that you must also learn and see is this. Anything must
between the municipality, the provincial department of housing, the national department of housing, DPRG itself. That's true to deal with this accreditation issue. Whether do an assessment of the capacity skills. If there are problems of insufficient skills, what is it that all of you can do to get more skills?
Make sure that this thing is dealt with.
One of the most critical issues really is the fact that the population is 2.5 million. And then the indigenous has been 2,700. Now, if that is the case, then it's problematic. Because we do need to have an actuary, if you like. You see, part of the problem is that if it is understated, what would then be the implication, the cost implication, going forward? So that as you will have all of these things, you need to have a clear data. Because obviously you are also saying 201 things, saying that is not fair. But also, can we just spend this thing so that we are better able to deal with the issues of the sleeping system, such that your information is very well informed and that is fair. And as you think, we would be then on the right step, ensuring that all of these national departments are not refused. As I was saying, it is not a matter of your and theirs. All of you need to firstly identify the financial constraints. My name of here is clear in terms of things. National and provincial governments. Each will publicly identify financial problems and therefore have solutions. So clearly, if these things do exist, let's also test it in terms of identifying solutions. And one last note, what's your
last word? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me respond to just a couple of points. Some entry gateway projects are sitting in the chicken house, which is the same water project. But we say the issue around the payment to people in China is actually a very simple one. The city has no contact with people in China. So you cannot pay them. It's simple as that. Someone else has contact with their payment, but we're not happy to take that money and give it to them. But we don't have a contract with you in China. And I think we need to make a very pretty quickly to contact us. I think that Carson Walker says points very deeply we are in fact significant looking at all of those issues. Water needs, leak projects, we can go into that extensively. And so as far as the individual numbers are concerned, just to get over the right perspective, yes, there's something on the ancient register, but everyone whose property is worth less than 88,000 automatically gets that as well. That's 7,000, something like that. So if we look at the city as a whole, we have about 800,000 people in formal structures and 100,000 more than 150,000 in terms. People in 150,000 homes such as the three basic services. In terms of the former 800,000 formal, approximately 100,000 of those are expected to get in the three services. That gives you a perspective of 1/8 of the total household. I think
thank you very much. Does anyone want to stress and see one problem is perfectly put in
and I can no, we write a book.
I used to. My dear friend, about 15 years ago. It's so lucky.
Time.
maintaining the existing areas, strengthening economic clusters, celebrating the capital, building the social cohesion. Some of that was the sound financial fundamentals and the social fundamental need for this. The strategic objective is there to provide funding to businesses and develop infrastructure to accelerate higher and shared economic growth and development, to fight poverty, building clean health, safe, sustainable communities, to foster positive strategy, democracy, and participation, and to push to a caring and sustainable transformation. And ensure good governance, financial viability, and optimal institutional transformation with the capacity to receive our money. The city has 4.7% of the GDA. Our population is 2.3, that's below 2.4. And we have about 686,000 78% commercial dwelling and 26.8% in commercial housing. We have 76 wards, and we have divided the city into 5 areas, and the regions are the set under the school.
Where's my
memory
today?
Mami Lodi forms part of the southeast region. So all of the regions are covered here. In terms of our budget estimates, our budget is for 2008, 2009. We sitting at expenditure of 4.6 billion and our revenue is 16.8 billion. Here you can see we are at expenditure of 11 billion and the revenue is about 12.3 billion. In terms of our operating budget, in the 2007-2008 financial year, we had 3.9 is about expenditure and the revenue was 10.2. In this financial year, it's 11.4 and our revenue is 12.7. Operating revenue by source, the figures speak for themselves on property rate. Our budget for 2008-2007 was 2 billion and our actual was about 2.8. This financial year 3.2, which is about 36% of what is budget. Our service charges, last year we had 4.7, our actual was 4.8, and this year our budget is 5.4, which is 23%. Our actual is 1.6, which is about 18% of what is budget. So, our engineering there, we spend 0% and we know the reason why. External investment, last year we were 135, our actual was 113, this year we were 120, and our actual was 18.8. Interest and on debt, we had 179 last year, and the actual was 160, this year 173. And our actual today is 87.6%. Government grant and subsidies, last year 1.9, and the actual was 2.2. This financial year was 1.7, and our actual is 498, which is 12%, I think, more than last year. And others, 1.2, last year our actual was 2018, and this year we had 1.9, and our actual 295. Our total revenue, our actual in the last financial year was 10.1, and our budget this year is 12.7, and our actual year to date is 3.1, and the outside is our budget. And our operating expenditure record. Our employee related cost in 2007-2008 financial year we were 2.6, our actual was 2.7. 2008 2009 financial year, we were at 3 billion. Our actual year to date, we are at 915, which is about 8%. I think remuneration for councillors, the figures there, I think that's self-explanatory. And our first year, last year, we 54%, and our offer was 19.9. This financial year, we have 131, our offer yesterday is 17.8. The pace and maintenance, 314 in the last financial year, and our offer today was 749. This year, we are at 864. And our actual year to date is 501. In fact, 8,354 in the last financial year.
Can you not go over there? Can we see the problem here on the slide? There are terrible fluctuations, but I'm just not sure why. I'm looking at that there. The budget 54. And the actual is 19.9. Repairs and maintenance, triple D, and the actual is 7.9. And I'm looking at the remuneration commitment is 44, and then it's 47. That's the counselor. And then the employee related cost is 2.6. And then it's 2.7.
Yeah.
Same
fluctuation. That's what it is. Just on the power package, our budget last year was 2.2, and the actual was 2.2. So in 2009, we were 2.3, and actual year to date, 813.1. Our grant is 7.5, our actual 12.2, and this year, 2008-2009, we are 12.1, our actual today is 1.2. The total of our signatures compared to last year we were 9.3 billion, our actual was 9.3. This financial year is 11.4, and our actual year to date is 4.3, and our actual is 4.3. Our capital funding by source, government grant in the last financial year was 554.2, and our actual was 12.10. Budget for 2008-2009 was 761.4, and our actual year to date. Our public contributions and donations 24, actual spend 17, this financial year 138, and actual spend yesterday is 3.4. Own funds down 92, actual spend 772 in the last financial year, this year we are at 1.2 billion, and our actual is
3.2 billion. I'm not sure, but what is the problem? I mean, the problem is that the government can't do something in the US budget, that's 5.4. He's like, what should it be? What is that you would see? If you would see the whole 5.4?
No, not yet. We have budgeted for 5.4, and we need the number 2.
But what
did
you would see? The whole 5.4. And this is the problem.
Yesterday at 1.6 investment property. We had 6 last year, and now after there was 7, this year we're budgeted for 20. Specialized vehicles, 10.4. Actual spend there was 0. This year we're at 21, and actual spend today is 0. This week I'll take time to order.
Now,
you might not be able to spend that 10 years.
And then you move this
now, you're
on
the budget, so you want
to
move
again,
you
can
spend
it better now. No,
you can talk to the last. And what's the other one? 155. Yes, in the last one, I tell you, it's 155. And it will be.
You know, I'm part of it.
that for the food inflation planning.
The difference between 55 and 10. No, they're using our money.
Still
in the bank.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cash
and then you
know, no, but labor is government. I mean, there's a problem. You have nothing in the last budget, all of them. And then you have and you've not received anything, you're not even spent. I think there's a problem.
Yes, it's just that it's important. You know, we have an allocation, but we are not looking. But this year, you see that there's a slight difference. If you look at our budget last year, we had to cut housing budget by
20%. Why?
Because all the commitments made, we're not on. We have to cut our budget in
5 months.
Neighborhood and housing. On the grant performance scale, our starting grant, 90 million spent on road infrastructure in the northern areas, 52 million spent on various other projects related to the city development strategy, organizational restructuring, data communication strategies in dealing with that group, the OICS, revenue enhancement, property valuation, et cetera, on meat, funds and things spent on various infrastructure programs. Why do you want to tell us, I think among other things, is that as a city we have in, you know, engaged in other major projects. One of those projects is the climate international trade effort that we are undertaking in the north of the city. The climate international conditional center is one of those projects to try and boost our economic activities. Our also have a park in Brooklyn, and what law we know that the funding is also leading in the motor sector. Container depot is one of the major projects that we want to undertake as well in the north. We also have both Manchester and the Superport setting up academy in the city of Perth. Most of these projects share, including the smart city project, will be negatively affected to a large extent by the inability of ESCOM to supply in the past. No, but the fact of the matter is that we don't want to be complaining about the fact, as I'm saying, that in the north of the city, some of our developments, ESCOM can only be ready in 2025. Which is a bit of a concern. I'm not going to complain about the high mass site that is taking 4 years now. That being energized. It's very part of the city. Is that something that I think can come? You go have a number?
No, it's fine if you don't have the number. Can go back and talk to that. It's a matter of for
us. I think that's a very wide interpretation. Yeah. I'm not a field for 4 years and on ideal challenges, the concurrent powers of the housing function slows and efficient housing delivery. I've already indicated here that the budget that this is allocated halfway, our share, growing campaign, we don't have this much. So we have to readjust our budget. Last year we adjusted that budget by almost 60%. Housing activation is one of the issues that we have not been able to the point we were making in Shepperton was that we do have a challenge in terms of African power supply from the top, and it would affect a lot of our development in the north of the city, around the whole of this major development that we are seeing there. ESCOM, the instances that they can only supply us there will pass by 30 and it's a matter of concern. But the other point I was raising to was that all of the high-mass lights that we have built for the last 4 years, none of them are energized. I think those were two issues that are yeah, now,
involved in that program. So we will indeed find that in 4 years,
or we wait for them to
be in the ministry? Are you able to meet them on Monday?
Yes.
You want to meet them on Monday. Give us the minutes and the solution in terms of both issues. Okay.
Yes.
The venue, offices of fund, the new fund manager office is fine. Okay.
And then, continue on the challenges with the late submission of comments, you know, by National and Provincial Department for the draft and approved budget and IPC, that process problem, but mentioned and duplicated reporting requirements. But in terms of compliance,
Very expensive,
airport was built with the thinking of possible credit, health of the main policies, all of these still are in the site. Interconnected sanitation network on roads, stakeholders, damages to roads where one road has been constructed, you know, telecom, water, you know, departments come and bring you the decision and good type we have been to propose. Probably by Sandoval has a major effect as well. On stormwater, water, we have inadequate stormwater drainage system, and we have a plan for that. Capital planning with funding surpasses municipal ability to generate resources. For example, here we're spending more than 180 million in social media alone to have the older personal social group, and would require about 1 billion to have the older social group only to the money we have in the interface, how much that is. So, number of independent households are starting every 3 to 4 years in some economic growth. Which that's why I listed the number of projects that we want to undertake at home. So that is the end of our slide. We hope to have some of the questions from your colleagues. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. That was nice. You have sent to me your slide. So your faith is in your hands. I can see and feel it. GDS is approaching and claim that your program is successful. You know, it's the other problem that was made earlier about what national department is doing.
Just one comment. I think. Right to the point earlier that youth and then peers of the municipality have a lot of passion. Our system is very important today because we do our calculations to develop the knowledge to the and as a result of the greatest practical program that the municipality wants to undertake, there is a possibility that the future could have a cash flow problem. Now, in this way, others don't necessarily agree with that, and that's fine. But that's a few things that are perhaps far more. But that's something that we want to just flag. In some way, it's not very important. Conscious is nothing there.
Okay?
Sheriff of Justice, I think that's a good game here. Starting from the new problem, I'm head of the Open Social Conference. One of these park allocated to the whole manually, that's quite a lot of things, but we are engaged with the municipality in normal normal offers almost every 3 months or so. We want to have a meeting again, we keep the back of the presentation and other things. Normally we have a meeting at the preparation of the RPA and obviously we put in the presentation and then we can look at the presentation and then we can look at the
process.
Thanks, sir. Sir, funny is like a tank staying next to the park and not knowing who the father is, and the father is the woman. You know, funny thing, you know, with all the national government, all the past PSG, PPSA, you know, the major, with funny. But the misalignment that we see in the interest of currently, there is a huge development in terms of housing. No big fancy housing, I don't say. But they are cool. And the studies are fully displaced and so on and so on. Now, people are now having to that study to get, you know, their child through them to school. But with some of the education is there, everybody is there. and the housing department also is there. So I think these are some of the things that we need to really look at and collectively. The second issue that I want to raise here, you know, recently we developed a very good working relationship with the fund, particularly on the city bus side, and this issue of trading we are also going to look at them. But we just want to give that appeal to the metro that they need to build a project management company for the municipality. Not only dealing with me, the whole infrastructure project, there should be a very big project management unit in the municipality. And the number of things that are challenges today, I think they will be dealt with within the immediate future. Thank
you.
I can't believe it. Thank you, Jeff. There's another light on the issues of water, but we know the issues within the presentation. But I echo what the BCOG is saying, that when you develop or you're looking at the expansion of the capital program of the city, then obviously one of the major concerns will be obviously water. And that is one of the aspects that we do have engagement with one on a regular basis with the department, but I think that those are some of the issues that we need to further engage with them, and also in view of the constraints that we have directly in terms of water resources. We have to look now at the organization of the power system that will have a profound impact also on terms of the tariff. So, what we need to face from when we're discussing the issues of the project, I get it more clear with the detail of the issue of the project unit and how to implement the project is very critical, and how to liaise with the various departments. It's a blessing for joint care, all of us there, and then to assist where we can, because obviously there's a major issue for us to make the capital work. Make the capital of South Africa at the time as a shining example. But I just want to say that in terms of the issues, in terms of the allocations that we do have for the joint, that from a water perspective, we can further engage on some of the issues. And then at the same time, the issues of water losses and water conservation demand, we need to engage with them because water is a finance law. Obviously, the door of the Department of Water and Forestry. On the issues of concern of trying to say there are concerns, we can engage further on those issues. Thank you.
CBSA.
Thank you, Chair. Trying is one of our kids that we partners.
Yes.
But I think on a more strategic role, I think certain interventions have been identified. Certainly, we can engage capital and the others, we can support you to support.
different untitled are in our area. And I don't know, maybe it's because of the CBS and the receiving remember the cross, but quite many. You know, when you go to the it's a problem. I think that we are ready to change the things of our country. I think I comment that I made. I tell you that the embassy also the next day they might not be there with me.
Investing in the market. I mean, the
not having any jitter in us. Anyway, that's possible. We are also in the middle of a session in terms of your input. And so, the problem of dealing with what you've got in the market, I think, is a critical one. And see if you do not want to be in the infrastructure, deliver it. But that at least you might have some revenue. I mean, revenue would be guaranteed for something you see in the market. Because people would then be able to pay for services, etc. Those that my colleague is talking about, and that's those that are going to grow the economy. So clearly, it's a matter of money. What's your answer? You are not responsible. You're not responsible.
Yeah, not
that you all of yourself, you still want to be an international man. So, once you learn everyone, you're going to learn the four outcome and tell me all of
them. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, I think you would thank all your colleagues for the input and the commitment to assist us going forward. I think we have a number of other issues here, but all the issues, the mega projects here that we've spoken about here, most of which are done in partnership with Caricom. We will not be paying capital out of
it. The American is that he is involved in a huge private sector bank. So, doing anything with the private sector is not guaranteed of something efficient and strong. Good. Can I firstly then thank you for coming in the morning?
I love
I'm going to go to the hospital. already, I think you have got it.
Oh, focus.
What?
So, wait a second.
This one, I think, yeah, I'll check it then.
I'm going to